Well, I certainly hope that Vince Guaraldi and Linus and Lucy puts a little hop in your step today, as we have faced, so far we've won, we've been facing a storm last night that came through on my information that like 400 schools were announcing already they were closing. But so far, just kind of slushy. Now, look, that doesn't mean that this bad weather might not come. We've got 36 degrees, feels like 24. Light rain forecast for right now. Coming up at about 5, it's going to get cold enough, so whatever light rain we might have could be snow.
And whatever's still on the ground will freeze over.
And that's always bad. Nothing worse than a frozen layer of ice and then snow on top of it.
Right.
I know. I've fallen victim to it. By falling, in fact. So we're going to keep on top of it, and we'll let you know what's going on. As we, I noticed that Danielle Mason is doing exercises. That's good to see.
It's stretching. Her daily calisthenics.
Well, good for her. Mine is basically getting out of bed and getting back in bed several times during the night. Mike Parsons, our executive producer, is here. Danielle Mason, Rich Luzinski is off, and Parker Moser will be helping out with WJR traffic and weather first on this Wednesday, December 10th, 2025, with relentless positive radio as you're on your way to making each and every day count. Each day is a gift. And I do want to thank you for choosing to be an important part of the best and brightest audience in all of radio. So we're going to keep an eye on any more snow coming our way. Right now, it is not an issue, but it very well could be.
This is definitely the snow that you want to push and not lift. It's throw your back out snow.
Well, it sounds like you've already been out there doing that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's and when you get to a certain age, just don't do it. I know you feel like you have to, but no, you don't have to, and you don't have to have a heart attack and die either.
Yeah, I read something. They don't suggest shoveling your own snow past 65.
Oh, I'm going to go 50.
Yeah, better safe than sorry.
50, absolutely. It's freezing cold generally. It constricts your blood vessels, not good for circulation and therefore the heart. So I would not do it at 65 or up to 65 if you want to go longer and collect your Social Security, which you should.
Get your money's worth.
Because you paid for it. Yeah.
Right.
Get your money's worth. Well, yeah, how about this? Speaking of money, remind me to mention the Powerball. But so these teenagers in Australia, because they have people in power there who have the intestinal fortitude, there's so many words I could use there that I can't or shan't on the radio, the intestinal fortitude to go against the wave of people fighting to keep children on platforms like TikTok, Instagram, Reddit, whatever it might be, that are doing nothing but causing trouble. In our news, we've got these mostly young boys that are getting snookered into doing things and then being so embarrassed they kill themselves. By the
right.
way, I say we go after the people that caused that and put them to death. Period. You can argue with me anytime you want. And if you see anybody fighting this, that 16-year-olds should be banned from social media, know that they're on the take. They're on the take from the big, big money, big, big business that's scared to death of us stepping up and protecting our kids the way they are now in Australia. That's disgusting, but that'll be a clear sign, because there's no other reason to go to bat and say 16-year-olds should be prey to these problems. So I salute Australia for that. All
and
right,
Paul, we have someone coming on today who's looking to do something similar here in Michigan at 12:30, I'm sorry.
It should be done, and I'll be supportive of them, etc. Powerball. The prize surges to $930 million. No jackpot winner declared in the latest drawing. So the $875 million from Monday goes to $930 million, and that's tonight. So if you wait until there's a lot of money like Ann Thomas, for example, I would consider this to be a lot of money.
So there's still a chance.
That's, well, the same chance. It's actually a little easier to get struck by lightning or attacked and killed by a shark.
I also saw that an air being in an air crash, you have a better chance of it as well. So,
is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. Well, these are all things I do worry about, which is why I don't take baths anymore.
Right.
I'm getting attacked by a
shark. Oh, that's why. Right.
Never seen a shark in the shower. I do shower, though.
Oh, okay.
I just don't take baths.
Yeah.
All right.
Those bathtub sharks are a silent epidemic.
They really are. And somebody's got to step up and do something about that. And I'm all for that. The other thing here that's fascinating. They apparently do not listen to my show, which is unfortunate because I've been so right about these things. But now, Oreo has decided to come out for the first time ever with a sugar-free spin on the classic Oreo cookie.
Hmm.
In January, they'll be offering the original and double stuff varieties sweetened with maltitol, polydextrose, sucralose, and Ace K. Can I just tell you, all of those are worse for you than sugar. All of them. The cookies come in redesigned stand-up bags with individually wrapped 2-cookie packs, making snacking more convenient, blah, blah, blah. This is so stupid, it's unbelievable. If you like Oreos, get the regular Oreos. If you take the new Oreos, you're going to have diarrhea and all kinds of wonderful little extras that you didn't sign on for when you decided to reach for a bag of new Oreos that you thought for sure they would be protecting you for, because, I mean, how could they put them on the shelf if they're not good or if they're going to hurt you? Trust me, zero sugar Oreos, very stupid, not good for you, using all of the fake sugars that are not good for you. Be aware. Don't fall for this. Anything else? No, I guess not. We better catch up here. We got a lot going on. A distinguished professor, political science department, director of the Center for Civic Engineering, Civic Engagement, rather, at Oakland University, talking about the president's tour on the economy. Did you watch that speech yesterday, Mike Parsons?
I did not, but I've seen the clips, and of course there was a Trump dance.
The clips cannot possibly do it justice. This speech went on for days.
And which is like to be expected.
Typically the fashion, he forgot many times why he was giving a speech, and he was off on Biden and off on everything else. And then you could tell when he got back to the script and he was making some sense. And it's just... He did say at one point,
he says, I'm not even reading the dang prompter. He didn't say dang, but...
Yeah, we know that, Mr. President. It's very obvious. And then when he gets back on it, we can tell. It's just, sometimes it's just a little overwhelming and a little, well, it's overwhelming and underwhelming. But understand that we support him still. He is our president, and that's that at the moment. As we continue, Relentless Positive Radio, Focus, Paul W. Smith, WJR. 12:21, always a pleasure to say hi to a distinguished professor, political science department director of the Center for Civic Engagement at Oakland University, Professor David Duleo. Professor, nice to have you here.
Well, thanks for having me back, Paul W.
Did you watch the entire speech of the president at that casino in Mount Pocono?
It's an occupational hazard, yes.
Yeah, and I don't blame you, because I got to tell you something. I support this president. I try to support all of our presidents, except when they completely go off the rails and lose track of reality, which has happened. But man, oh man, I got to give credit to the people that were there that could sit or stand through that kind of... How long did it last? Because I'm sure I dozed off a couple of times.
Well, in truly Trump fashion, right? I mean, it was longer than it needed to be, and he again, in that Trumpian way, goes off on tangents that
he goes off on tangents that you go, what? Wait a minute. And, go back to what you were talking about.
Right.
Tell us about affordability. Really show us how the economy is really better. And if we're not feeling it, why and how can we feel it?
Sometimes he struggles with discipline. Yes. And staying on message. Right. I mean, it's but that's frankly, Paul W. And you've seen this over the years. That's what endears him to so many of his supporters. Right. I mean, whether it's going after somebody like Representative Ilhan Omar or the legacy mainstream media, he uses those entities as targets because he's had such success attacking them in the past. Right. And to this point, there has been no political price for him to pay with his base for going on so long or going on tangents that are completely irrelevant to what he's there to talk about.
So from your standpoint as a distinguished professor in the political science department, as director of the Center for Civic Engagement at Oakland University, what matters is at the end here, the next day, did the president accomplish what the president felt he needed to accomplish or that we feel he needs to accomplish in countering the story that the economy is not better?
The goals that the president and the White House have are not going to be solved or met with one speech. This is a long-term process that they are going to have to engage in because for many reasons, right? But the public has heard over and over and over again, and the public has felt over and over again, some difficulties when it comes to their own pocketbooks. And I think the president, I think he made a misstep when he talked about how affordability is a scam. I think what he meant to say was, the Democrats' complaints about affordability, they're trying to scam you, right? Because, and I'm sure he would point to the data on inflation, right? Where inflation is down, no doubt about it. And any report from economists or entities that track that demonstrates that, right? Year over year inflation is only around 3%. That is compared to a high of over 9% in June of 2022 during the Biden administration. Inflation is down, but prices aren't. And that is what the president is fighting against, right? The prices remain high from that inflationary period during the Biden administration. And this gets us into a scenario that is plagued and benefited many presidents, all of them, in fact. But presidents always get too much credit for a good inflation, for a good economy, and too much blame for a bad economy.
But would you
the
agree with me?
President doesn't do much at all, to really impact the day-to-day numbers.
Would you agree with me, though, that in the past, something as simple, not simple, as gas prices going down to where they've gone down to now. I saw $2.39 out by Metro Airport. $2.39. That used to be an unbelievable thing and a wholehearted reaction of people saying, this is like getting a raise. I don't hear that now because I don't think the lamestream media will give that to the president. But the reality is gas prices are down substantially, and it doesn't seem to matter this time around.
I think that's a really interesting point, and for all of the elements that you brought in there, usually gas prices, when they're this low, we would say, boy, the last time we saw prices at this level, it was 2012 or whenever it was, right?
I mean, right.
And that is something to be happy about. I think what the White House needs is for, those lower fuel costs to start to factor into the costs of other goods. And, because if fuel's cheaper, it's cheaper to bring products to market. It's cheaper to process them and get them into the hands of consumers. Right. we haven't seen that yet. And the White House needs to try to focus on getting that to be the case.
Yeah, that's a good point. Shipping, everything. Anything that is touched by fuel should go down in price because their costs have gone down. But like has always been the case, though, it's not always easy to get prices to go in the other direction, even
that's
when
right.
the costs have gone down, because all that means to them is they've increased their profitability.
That's bingo, right? And what company that's focused on profit margin is going to turn away extra profit?
Right. That's not one that I know of.
Right.
Not one. I appreciate your help as always. Wish I could come and take your classes. Distinguished Professor, Political Science Department Director, the Center for Civic Engagement at Oakland University, the wonderful Professor David Duilio. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
It is at 12:28 at 760 WJR. And by the way, Mitch will join us near the end of our show today, and we'll just remind you again about his Say Detroit fundraising efforts all day tomorrow. In fact, in this time period, in every time period, starting at 6 in the morning. So, and we are going to be there to support him in every way we can, as we do every year. The state representative in Michigan's 55th district, the Republican in Rochester Hills, Mark Tisdale, joins us right now. And he is probably enjoying very much what he is seeing happening in Australia, because he is sponsoring a bill to restrict social media use for people under 18. So they did it in Australia for people 16 and under. Nice to have you on, Representative Tisdale. Tell me how the battle goes here in America to try to straighten out and protect our youth.
Oh, good afternoon, Paul W. And yes, Australia has done it on a national basis, under age 16. Florida was probably the first in the U.S. to introduce something like this. Again, they too are looking at it under age 16. I'm saying minors. If you want to create an account on one of the social media sites, you have to accept a terms of use agreement. That terms of use agreement is a contract, and minors cannot consent to a contract. Period. So if the social media sites want to change the way they do business, that's fine. But basically, they're asking a minor to consent to a quid pro quo contract. We'll let you use our platform, and you allow us to monitor your online usage, and we'll monetize that, basically selling your time and attention to advertisers.
Sometimes I speak. It's ready, fire, aim for me.
All have that.
Okay. I said this, and you're going to tell me right or wrong. I said, if anybody is against what, in this case, Representative Tisdale, you want to do, I can't come up with a reason that they would, other than if they were making money off the deal or somebody was influencing them with money. And I still am going to stand by that.
Well, listen, what is it about teens and tweens and social media sites that requires this exception in consenting to contracts? Well, teens and tweens are valuable marketing targets. They influence a lot of sales and purchases. And that's all it comes down to. And the social pathologies, the emotional and psychological pathologies associated with long-term social media contact are well demonstrated in the science and the research. That's not a question anymore. So why is it Dr. Jonathan Haidt out of New York University will tell you we're in our 13th year of a mental health crisis for teens and tweens, particularly girls. So why do we allow this to continue? Why do we allow minors to consent to these online contracts. Their parents don't have any authority on the front end, but are going to have responsibility for picking up pieces on the back end. You've disconnected authority from responsibility for parents, and that's unacceptable.
Well, Representative Mark Tisdale, you mentioned especially for girls. I would say to you, the news today and yesterday is all about boys killing themselves after they get taken advantage of on social media. So it is a major problem affecting our kids, period, in general. And, you know, we kind of let people get away with things. For example, we knew what was happening years ago when people would put on shelves in grocery stores or toy stores things that little kids would want on the lower shelves so that when they were being pushed through the store in a stroller, they would see these items and say, I want. They were manipulating these little kids back then. Now they're just doing it in a much more today way with social media. It doesn't make it any better. In fact, I think it makes it worse. And I would love to know when this is going along. What's next for you? I want to know who's against this idea. I'd love to have them on, or at the very least, if they won't come on, publish their names, because I can't come up with a good reason why a legislator would go to bat for a 16-year-old or a 12-year-old or an 18-year-old to make sure they could keep their social media platform. Seriously?
Well, and they can keep their social media platform. They just need a parent or guardian's consent to sign on to agree to the contract. And that parent or guardian has to have full access to the account, to see the contact list, to see the postings, to see the direct messages and the replies.
So we're asking parents to do more parenting in this kind of a situation too, then.
And giving them the tools that are not now available.
From Rochester Hills, the Republican State Representative, Michigan's 55th District, Representative Mark Tisdale. Keep up the good work. Let us know how we can help.
Thank you very much, Paul W.
Thank you, sir. Very much. Somebody's got to step up. I said it at the start of the show. They've got to have the intestinal fortitude to step up and do this. And it looks like Mark Tisdale does and is. Heading toward 12:43 at WJR. Look, the holidays, we know, are for spending time with family and friends in the comfort of our home. But is your home ready for all those fun-filled festivities? Now, whether you're concerned about the quality of air you and your guests will breathe, winter power outages, or the status of your existing furnace, our friends at Family Heating, Cooling, and Electrical are there for you. It's still family. It's the next generation, Dan Pelko and Crystal Klempert Pelko. They offer quality products and repair services for an honest price. They also offer free, no-pressure estimates for new heating equipment. I want you to call Family Heating, Cooling, and Electrical today. Schedule an appointment to have your furnace cleaned and checked to ensure your furnace continues to keep you warm during the holidays. And remember, none of their people work on commission, so they'll never try to sell you something you don't need or want. And now Family is the official heating, cooling, and electrical partner of the Detroit Red Wings. Had a wonderful dinner with Dan Pelko and Crystal Klempert Pelko at Ottavia, I think it is, in Corktown, with the salesperson Mary Burney. It was a wonderful time talking about the good work that they continue to do, and how much they really care about you. That's why they are called the family. It's not just the name of their company. It truly is the way they do business. I want you to call Family Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. You can visit familyheating.com, familyheating.com, simply. You'll get all the numbers you need, all the locations, and you can learn, too, how their family can help your family. Remember, this is so true, and I've been saying it for years. Family is not just the name of their company, but the way they do business. Heading toward 12:45 with Paul W. Smith in Focus on WJR. Well, we have flurries off and on, but nothing extremely terrible. This used to happen a lot where the schools would overreact. I'm not saying they're overreacting. I'm just saying it's not that long ago that it might have happened where schools were shut down and then everyone kind of sat around waiting for a storm. The problem there is then you don't believe them, and then it happens, and it's really a big storm. So we'll just see. We'll keep an eye on it. You stay tuned to WJR. We've got the team, including Parker Moser, keeping an eye on our WJR traffic and weather first. We also have Marie Osborne, Director of Community Affairs and News here at WJR, as the court proceedings in the Rebecca Park murder case have been pushed back. Park, you recall, the 22-year-old pregnant woman found dead in a northern Michigan forest on November 25th. Her mother and stepfather are both accused of her gruesome murder. WJR's Marie Osborne has the very latest on this very disturbing story. Marie?
This is a tough one. There's no doubt about it, Paul. So hearings for Courtney and Bradley Bartholomew were delayed by 30 days. Courtney is the victim's mother. Both of these people are now scheduled to return to court on January 13th. The couple faces a long list of charges, including first-degree murder, felony murder, torture, unlawful imprisonment, and assault on a pregnant individual resulting in a miscarriage. Prosecutors allege the crimes were premeditated and carried out together. More details, though, have also come to light in these court filings, including that the victim, her 21-year-old sister, and 40-year-old biological mother all were romantically involved with the same man who was the father of the victim's unborn child. Rebecca's sister...
I'm sorry. I don't watch enough daytime television, and people might have gotten that whole... Would you just repeat that whole thing you just said? About who's with whom, or the man,
yes.
Or who's...
We understand this is... but it's an important part of the story.
It is, very.
So, the victim, we have the victim,
the dead young woman,
her 21-year-old sister,
okay,
and her 40-year-old biological mother. She's the one who's accused of killing her, killing the victim. All of these people were romantically involved with the same man, and he was the father of the victim's unborn child.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
You can't make this stuff up.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And one other note here, Rebecca's sister, Kimberly Park, also appeared in court this month. Her hearing has been rescheduled for December 16th. She faces charges of lying to police, tampering with evidence, and filing a false felony report. And, Paul, there's a lot of other details to this story that I did not include in this report that were just simply too difficult and too... gruesome to actually put.
They are gruesome. It's gruesome. There's no other. That's the best word that you've come up with to describe it. It's gruesome. And somebody, they already admitted to. There's not a way to say this that's not gruesome.
I know.
They admitted to removing the baby, the little boy, the grandson, if you will, out of her daughter. This is her mother talking. They said it was an attempt to save the child, but then they figured out that the child was also dead, right?
That's exactly correct. And then they disposed of the body of the infant and then, killed the mother, made sure the mother was dead, too.
Oh,
so,
God, this is... This is just too much.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if you're aware in earlier reporting, this victim, her adopted mother said that she'd spent her whole life trying to keep her away from her biological mother because she was bad news. And so there's a lot involved in this story, a lot of dysfunction, a lot of very sad details.
Very sad. Incredible. Dysfunction. It's hard to talk about. You've done your job. You needed to report on that. Is there a particular reason why they didn't do what they were supposed to do today?
Well, yeah, it was yesterday that they were supposed to have these hearings for these two. And then we also had, again, the sister also, her hearing was rescheduled for December 16th. These are usually procedural matters that have to, that take place in front of the court. So if an attorney is working on another case and they can't, you know, be in court on a specific day, sometimes these things happen. There's also the issue of evidence and gathering evidence. Does everyone have all the same paperwork in front of them so that they're all working with the same facts? There's a lot of procedural things that can delay a court hearing.
Yeah. Let's go to another topic. Yes. And that is your take on what started today at midnight in Australia. Kids 16 and under are banned from social media. I love this idea. What do you think?
You know, we did an interview on this yesterday on All Talk, and we had a doctor out of Corwell that she's great. She always talks on this topic. And she was just saying that this, you know, that it really, we just have to see how this works out. How will this work out? One of the things that you have to think about is that, you know, in Australia, this is their summer vacation. So kids may start to feel isolated. You know, if they can't connect with their friends, are they going to start to feel isolated? So there's really things that you really have to weigh here. Yeah, it's good to get people away from their screens. But on the other hand, kids who want to and need to be connected with their friends, maybe we're keeping them from that. So it'll
I appreciate the point. They can call them on their cell phone, as far as I'm concerned. And until they have punishment that matches the horrific crimes they're being committed against kids now online. Wow. We've been hearing about all these suicides and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
I'm all for it. I'm going to take the leap and say I'm all for it. Marie, thank you for your help.
Thank you.
As always, Marie Osborne, WJR's Director of Community Affairs and News. We continue. The team in place. Mike Parsons, our executive producer. Danielle Mason, Rich has the day off. Parker Moser is in helping out. You can stream us at WJR.com. You can podcast us at WJR.com. And we'll keep the relentless positive radio going. Now, there may be a technical glitch here in the middle of our conversation, but that's all right. The team will take over, and I'll get the glitch.
And there's that glitch probably, I think, Dan.
That was so quick.
Yeah, well, okay. Yeah, so, you can tell, we're making some upgrades around here. But, yeah, that first hour, you know, we're talking a lot about not only the social media ban in Australia where kids 16 and under have to get permission for their parents to be on social media, but State Representative Mark Tisdell, he is trying to do something similar here in Michigan. And you like the idea.
I think it's awesome. I'm all for it. When I heard Australia was doing that, I was like, yeah, they should, because we grew up when we didn't have any of that. We didn't have any of that clouding our brain, and I don't think that's healthy for them.
Yeah.
So I'm all for it.
I mean, here's the thing. I don't think it's a bad idea either, but I don't think, because I know in Australia, like, kids who already were on social media, they had their accounts shut down. I think you could grandfather those kids in, but then just from moving forward, you have to have...
Well, that's what he said. That's what he said he was going to do. Like, the people who already have them, it's fine. You're still going to have them. Your parents just have to do extra parental work.
Yeah, and I think maybe what you do, even if it's free, you put in a credit card.
Yeah, I
and
like this.
That's, yeah. We got a call. You want to go to
go,
it?
Go for it.
All right, you got to bring them up. All right, let's see here. WJR, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hey.
I just want you to remind all of your listeners to not try to shovel that heavy, heavy snow. It is brutal out there. I've just measured 8 inches here in Keego Harbor.
Wow.
And it's a very heavy, wet snow. And it could be dangerous for senior citizens or people that have heart problems.
You're right. What was your name from Keego Harbor?
I'm Sue, and I'm from Keego Harbor.
All right. Thanks for the call, Sue. And yeah, I was saying that earlier this show. It's a good reminder, because I went out there, and it's definitely a push, not a lift snow. It's a throw your back out. If you have heart problems, you're being a world of hurt type of snow.
Yeah.
So
it's very wet, too. I don't like that. I'm not a fan.
But, I mean, where I live downriver, I got maybe just an inch or two, but... Thank you, Sue, for that reminder. It bears repeating. have you heard about this guy, Philip Rivers?
No, go ahead. Tell me who this is.
All right, so he's a 44-year-old retired NFL quarterback.
Okay.
And he just re-signed with his own old team because they have so many injuries at quarterback that 5 years after he retired, he's coming back at 44 to play NFL football to try to help the Colts get to the playoffs.
Can I put him on my fantasy draft?
That's
Let me see if I can get him real quick.
That's a good question. I'm very worried about this man. If we're talking about throwing your back out, shoveling snow, what's going to happen with this guy playing NFL football after being out of the league for five years?
He's going to be retired in 1 week.
Yeah. Well, and also, you know, he was a semifinalist. Hello? Hey, Paul, you're back.
Oh, yeah, I was trying to get your attention, but the two of you were talking, and I couldn't talk offline back to Danielle. But I'm very interested in Danielle being involved in this kind of activity.
What's that?
I mean, this whole extra league thing where her player this and her player that, I've never gotten involved in any of that. Have you done that? Do you do that?
I'm in fantasy right now, and guess what? I made the playoffs for the second year in a row.
See, I have never done the fantasy football or any of that stuff.
You want to do it next year?
No.
Oh,
fair enough.
I need one extra thing to be concerned about, worry about, and figure out that right. does nothing for my life, basically. And I'm not trying to put down people who do this. I just don't need anything else.
Yeah.
No, it gives you bragging rights here at the station for at least 3 months. And then we forget a little bit, and you can bring it back up. And that, yeah.
Yeah. And you might win $50 if you get first place.
I have been at the radio station off and on for like 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
I have never once been concerned about bragging rights for anything.
Oh, there. You don't have a big head like Kevin Dietz does.
He's like the three-time champion.
He bought his own trophy.
Come on.
Yeah, now, he won in
he's
two.
He's that into this?
Oh, yeah. He won 2023 and 2024. He's going for 2025. He made the playoffs, too.
Well, to be fair, he probably bought the trophy with the money that he won winning the league.
He did say that, but still, he bought one.
So, like, $50 is up for grabs in this thing?
Yeah, give or take.
Is this, like, illegal gambling?
I don't think so.
No, I'm saying no, it's not. It's not gambling at all. There's no gambling affiliation. If Ann Thomas is listening, no gambling. We're not gambling. We're having fun. Team building. Actually, there's no money involved.
I'm sorry. When I laugh, I cough. Yeah. And that sounded laughable, but it was an excellent job of trying to redirect the attention from the boss.
Yeah.
To whatever is going on here. But anyway, that aside.
Well, you should see our poker nights. Those get illegal. Oh. Just kidding. Just kidding. I hate poker because I always lose. I wouldn't. If we had underground poker nights, I would not play.
All right. Back online here. Federal Reserve prepares to cut interest rates for a third time this year. What do you think?
Yeah, it's supposed to be a foregone conclusion today. I guess they don't have... they don't have all the data because they weren't able to compile it during the
shutdown.
But it sounds like we're trending in the right direction.
The president, once again, in his very long speech yesterday, talking about how great the economy really is to give him that A++++++++++ rating, put down the Federal Reserve chairman again. And it's kind of sad because he's the guy who put the Federal Reserve chairman in the position.
Right. And every expert we talk about, who doesn't have
about being beaten up by the president.
Right. Said Jerome Powell's doing a pretty good job and he's doing the right thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of sad. But his days are numbered anyway.
Right.
But it's not because the president's getting rid of him, but that his term is ending and the president is going to put in somebody, I'm sure, who will be just as good as many of the other people he's put into positions.
Right. Not a whole lot of pushback for the incoming person.
Judge orders the release of an immigrant with ties to White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt. I like Caroline Leavitt. I think she does a great job.
I think it's her... It's her nephew's baby's mother. So
who can keep track? Her nephew's baby's mother.
Thrice removed.
Wow. All right. What typeface has fallen victim in the war against woke? What is this story you've sent me?
So I guess...
A typeface.
I guess the State Department on their documents, they were using Calibre, and that was a change that was made under the Biden administration because Calibre is easier to read for people who are hard of seeing, and the current State Department thinks that's too woke, and they've got nothing else better to do.
So God, how do they have timed for this ridiculousness?
They don't, but they do it anyway. So they changed it back to Times New Roman. I'm an Arial guy myself, but...
Oh, my God. All right, one last one. Why is the 44-year-old quarterback making his NFL return by signing with the Colts? What's that about?
The Colts must be desperate. They've all their quarterbacks are injured. I figured there'd be somebody who's a little younger who has played within the last 5 years to come back, but they signed Philip Rivers, who is eligible for the Hall of Fame. That's how long he's been out of football.
And he's Social Security, but go ahead.
And well, he's got all those kids. He's probably just trying to get out of the house. But but yeah, they signed him to the practice squad, and everyone thinks he's probably going to play this year, which I hope he doesn't get hurt.
Did you see, you must have by now, they played it 5,000 times, the plane crash landing on top of a Toyota?
Yes.
On a Florida freeway?
Yes.
Is that going to be in the next Toyota commercial showing how strong those doggone Toyotas are?
They said everyone walked away. Everybody walked away from that.
The guy in the plane, the woman in the Toyota, her whole area, which we know that the driver's side of the car is stronger.
Yeah.
They make it that way to withstand those crash tests and do well in the crash tests.
Yeah.
The rest of us who are not in the driver's seat
are in a can.
We're in trouble.
Yeah.
But the but she was in the right place at the right time, and she lived. They all lived. And it's unbelievable
video.
It
had to have been terrifying. I know. It looked fake, but it's not.
Not fake. And imagine you're driving, you see nothing in your rearview mirror, you're being very vigilant, you keep looking in your rearview, nothing's there, nothing ahead of you, and then there's a crash on top of the roof of your car, the sky is falling. Only it wasn't the sky, it was an airplane.
Yeah, terrifying.
Yeah. All right, well, we're underway, we're rolling, and we continue in focus on WJR. Well, in the endless story of our lives, we have... A judge unsealing the Ghislaine Maxwell, and I don't know if I say her name right because I don't really care, grand jury material under the new Epstein Files Act. It'll be interesting because our children's children will be still hearing about these stories in the news. Todd Flood, managing partner of Flood Law, PLLC, host of Behind the Bench with Todd Flood on WJR, is here to tell us what all of this means. Hello, Todd. Nice to have you here.
Always a pleasure, Paul W. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure indeed. What does this mean right now? Judge unseals Maxwell grand jury material under the new Epstein Files Act.
Yeah, so Judge Engelmeyer received a motion. This is the second time he's received it. He received a request by the DOJ, I don't know, about a month ago. He denied that motion to release Maxwell's grand jury material, although he did give a clue. He said there's not much here just because everything was already put into the trial that she had. However, there's some other tidbits that I'll talk about. But regardless, now with the Epstein Transparency Act that the president signed, the DOJ renewed their motion and the judge granted that motion because, you know, the presumption is that all grand jury material is to remain, you know, secret. So it's not released to the public. So, but with this new law and this new act, you're going to see things that were under a protective order that did not go in front of the public. Things like maybe travel logs or immigration logs or, you know, cell phone communications or where people were located. You'll see subpoenaed stuff that came to the grand jury. The testimony is already out there for the most part, but grand jury, they'll subpoena documents, or they'll subpoena records, bank records, telephone records, all sorts of things they'll subpoena. And that material, too, will be released. But it was kind of a tell there by the judge. There's not much more here because she did go to trial.
Well, and I guess it should be underscored, because the Democrats, who are using this as their whole plan, they've come up with no other ideas on how to save us money, protect our insurance, protect our income, protect anything. But they have been riding this thing with Epstein. It should be pointed out, as much as they're trying to make it like this president is hiding stuff, it's his attorney general, Pam Bondi, who has asked the judge to expedite the ruling, given the deadline set by the new law. She's the one who wants the unsealing of the materials. She also asked a different judge to unseal materials from the investigation of Mr. Epstein, who was indicted on sex trafficking charges July 2019 and detained pending trial. Obviously, he was found hanged in his jail cell the following month. Of course, his death was ruled a suicide. But meanwhile, the whole thing is, it's you would think this would dispel all of the rumors and efforts that the Dems have placed in this trying to be information hidden from the public to protect President Trump, which we know can't be the case because they had all this information under their control when they control the government. And trust me, it doesn't take a genius to say if they had anything that could have made Trump look bad, they would have released it, wouldn't they?
You would think. I mean, we shouldn't have to prove water's wet, Paul W., but sometimes we do. Yeah, you would think that would be the case.
Have you used that? Have you used that in court before? I would have loved that.
I have.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I said that, to judge, do I have to prove water's wet? At the end of the day, you would think, right, that the material would have, if there was some skullduggery here as it relates to the president, that would come out. I mean, here's where I stand on a lot of this. Because I represent victims, and if the calling is and for protection and for some cathartic or legitimate, to recognize, how many victims there were and, that they can stand with some sort of, they never really received justice in this case, stand for something that, yes, our voices were heard and a lot of this was buried or not buried, whatever the case may be. I stand on the side of, transparency to help the victims in this case. That being said, three judges have already said, hey, listen, you got to follow the law. The law is this. There is a Transparency Act now signed by the president. It must go forward. There are some questions of whether or not, and we'll never know because this is how the law works. If there's other investigations going on, the Attorney General Pam Bondi may not release those other investigation materials that are part of the Epstein case. We don't know. She doesn't have to disclose that. But I think there will be some trove of material, that there will be books, as you started off this whole segment, that are children's grandchildren will, be able to read, and whatever novels and books that they want to read. But right. As long as it's something good for the victims in this case, I stand behind that.
Well, and by the way, it should not be lost on people that some of the victims of Mr. Epstein's and Ms. Maxwell's have voiced, quote, concern that their identities and privacy will be compromised with these releases. So somehow that doesn't make it in the headlines along the way with the efforts to try to throw President Trump under the bus any way they can, other than the Democrats coming up with their own better way of doing things.
Well, if that is the case, the judge said someone's going to have to take ownership of this and they're going to have to do it right. And that, God forbid that, a victim is traumatized again because someone figured out, that she was part and parcel and wanted to keep her secrecy, was in therapy and doesn't want this out there. I hope, that obviously should never happen. And I hope and pray that it doesn't. But if it did, Shame on whoever didn't protect the records of that person.
Well put. Managing partner, founder, Flood Law, PLLC, host of the award-winning Behind the Bench with Todd Flood, right here on WJR, the one and only Todd Flood. Always a pleasure, Todd. Thank you, sir.
Pleasure, my friend. Be well.
You be well as well at 128 on WJR. And you'll hear from Mitch Albom at about 145 or thereabouts this afternoon, getting ready for his big Say Detroit Radiothon from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. tomorrow. It's the 14th year, and they're live from Somerset. So you can stop out and see a live radio show, and you know he's going to have a great show with lots of great guests from all over the country. Some will be there. Some will be on the phone. We're checking in on the phone, as we do every year, and trying to help out as best we can. Matt Hall is a Michigan House Speaker representing the 42nd District, and he is proposing, among other things, price controls for hospitals, asking the Michigan Supreme Court to hear stalled bills appeal as well. And that goes to, you've asked the Michigan Supreme Court to reverse a previous ruling ordering the preservation of 9 stalled bills from a previous legislative session, which you'll explain to us in a moment. But Speaker Hall, always a pleasure having you on with Paul W. Smith in Focus on WJR.
Well, thanks for having me.
It is our pleasure. Talk to me about this this new state commission, this new fee schedule to limit what hospitals can charge for their services as a part of the bid to lower healthcare costs.
Yeah, so one of the issues I'm hearing the most about from people across Michigan is the skyrocketing cost of healthcare. I think people see it in their, you know, their bills. We're also hearing a lot about it from the, you know, the insurance, from the Blue Cross CEO. And we know that Blue Cross lost over $1 billion last year. And what we're hearing from the Small Business Association of Michigan and Brian Calley, all these small business owners, is their premiums are going way up, 30%, 50% increase in the healthcare premiums. And so we're seeing it all over the place, rising costs of healthcare. So, you know, I've been looking at a lot of the experts and what they're saying, and talking to small business owners, talking to leaders. And I've come to the conclusion that we need to do something to rein in this cost of healthcare. So some ideas that I put forward that we're exploring are, you know, coming up with a new regulatory commission that we can review these price increases from the health systems and hospitals and ensure that they're all justified. We're looking at, you know, one of the things that's adding such cost to healthcare are the you know, all this consolidation. These hospitals are consolidating and getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And so I think there's some questions: should we be allowing that? Should we block this? And then we're looking at potentially capping the prices that hospitals can charge for services. I mean, they're all over the place. If you're this health plan, they charge you one number. If you pay out of pocket with no insurance, it's another. If you're on Medicaid, it's something else. So I think we need to really rein in that price level and maybe set a limit on the prices they can charge. And then also really looking at the transparency. It's hard to get transparent information about what the prices the hospitals are charging if you say, hey, give me my bill, what's the cost? So there's a lot of ideas like that, but it's all focused on reining in this out-of-control growth and cost of your health care.
Michigan House Speaker representing the 42nd District and the House in charge, Matt Hall. We know that without question that healthcare and billing is very complex. We also hear from people that they all want to weigh in and try to fix things. We were told by hospitals as they were merging and combining that shouldn't raise prices. In fact, because of the savings, it could lower prices. And that, at least at this point, doesn't seem to happen. But are you finding, Matt, that people that are in all these important positions are indeed willing to engage in a real conversation to try to fix this problem?
I think so. You know, one of the challenges in the past is, you know, when you try to make a bold change to reform the cost and lower the cost of health care. There's so many lobbyists involved and so many special interests that the politicians, they like to cut around the margins. If we're really going to take this on and lower the cost of health care and making it more affordable for people, we've got to be bold. And so I've tried to put some bold ideas on the table on how to rein in the cost. And, you know, there was this recent study by Rand that showed that actually the hospital consolidation is increasing prices, which is crazy. So we thought, the argument was you consolidate, you have more buying power, it brings down costs. But what we're actually seeing is it's limiting competition and the prices are going up. That's a big problem we need to try to fix.
No, it's a huge problem, and it's counter to what we were basically told it was going to be. And I saw that, in fact, heard it in an interview with Blue Cross President, CEO Tricia Keith. And she referenced that study by the Rand Corporation that indeed concluded just what you said, that the hospital mergers gave the health system more negotiating power with insurers, which you would think would mean they could get better prices, increased patient volume for services, but reduced competition and contributed to increased healthcare spending, which is not the way it was supposed to go. And now we're going to have to try to figure out how that can work, because most of us kind of embraced the idea of these mergers thinking it would save us money.
Yeah, and there's so much government intervention and involvement in this market that it may take government regulation to correct some of this. And so that's why I think we need to look at these big companies and say, do we need to do something to break this up?
Quick note, you and the House Republicans have asked the Supreme Court to hear stalled bills appeal. Explain to me what that means.
Yeah, so when the Democrats controlled everything, they were a very disorganized group, and they didn't turn in all their bills for the governor to sign before they left office. That left 9 bills in limbo that when a new legislature started were not in law. And so now there's a dispute over how to handle that in the courts, and we're asking the courts to allow the will of the House that voted to not present those bills to the governor for signature. And we'll see what the Supreme Court does, but I'm hopeful they rule with us.
How in the world could they let that happen when they were in charge, that these are bills they wanted and they forgot or didn't take the time to get them signed by the governor before they were out of power?
Exactly. And, you know, you shouldn't be able to governor shop, right? You just hold on to bills for years and years and present them. And so we're trying to get that sorted out in the courts. It's a new problem that has never been decided before.
Well, I think it will now. Matt Hall, always appreciate you coming on board. Anything else you wanted to mention before I let you go?
No, we're just grateful for the opportunity to be on, and we're working to lower the cost of living and make life more affordable for the people of Michigan.
Well, we're all in on that. Michigan House Speaker, representing the 42nd District, House Speaker Matt Hall. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
142 WJR. It really seems hard to believe, but tomorrow will be Mitch Albom's 14th year of the Say Detroit Radiothon. It will be live once again from the Somerset Collection from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. There'll be all kinds of celebrities checking in with Mitch all day long. And we want you to check in, too, via the telephone or in person out at the mall, and help out in any way that you possibly can. Mitch Albom, best-selling author, columnist, Detroit Free Press, host of Albom in the Afternoon, 4 to 6 p.m. right here on WJR, is on the other end of my line right now, taking a moment away from being out and signing books, which is a wonderful gift to give to somebody for the holiday season, his new novel called Twice, a novel. And to get it signed over to somebody is a real special gift. How are you doing, Mitch?
I'm doing great, Paul. How are you?
I am doing excellent. Are you back in town right now?
I am. I just did my last stop on the book tour last night in South Carolina, 33 cities, and now I'm home for good and ready to get going on the radiothon, and looking forward to 15 hours on the air, including your time slot. So thank you in advance for giving it up, and I know we'll get a visit from you tomorrow, but we'll give you the other hour and 56 minutes off.
Thank you for that. We always look forward to it. And to help out as best we can, I think Rosie said you'll call me about 12:45, but doing fundraisers myself, I know that that's very flexible, and I'll be very flexible. But you've been raising money and helping people in so many ways. Those 15 hours may seem like a long time, but in the end, they zip by. You always make them fascinating. You have one of the best fundraising shows I've ever heard on the radio because you call upon your friends that you've met in your sports days, on television, in your newspaper days, and in your radio days, and you invite them back, and they come back. And many of them are extremely generous.
They are, and I think people in Detroit like hearing that people around the country care about Detroit. You know, Hugh Jackman will be with us, Paul Stanley from KISS, Jane Pauley, Anderson Cooper, Alice Cooper, all the other Coopers, Brian Williams, Tim Allen. So a lot of these people have no connection to Detroit at all. They weren't born here, raised here, but they've been here. They filmed here. They go to concert here, and they just care about it. And I think people care about the city of Detroit more than we think around the rest of the country. And I know that the people here in Michigan care about the city of Detroit and kids who don't have, you know, opportunities to get the schooling that they need, or people who don't have homes, or veterans who are facing difficulty, seniors, and all of these are people that we help with, say, Detroit. So between the national celebrities, the local ones, and I always think the best interviews, Paul, are the people who we help. You know, someone who didn't have a home who now has a home, or someone whose kid was, you know, a lockkey kid, and then all of a sudden they can spend 6 hours at our, say, play center, or someone who didn't have insurance and wasn't getting medical care, and now they can go to our, say, play or say family clinic and get medical care. Those are the best interviews because they move you. You know, they tell you how you've made a change in their life.
Oh my goodness, Mitch Albom! I remember when you gave a house to somebody.
Yeah, we'll be doing that tomorrow too.
I mean, imagine, folks, getting a house because you really need it, and then you earn it, and it's mind-blowing. You can listen and watch. You can obviously listen right here at WJR 760 AM. You can live stream it, live video stream it on MitchAlbumRadiothon.com, at WJR.com, Freep.com, and click on Detroit.com. You can also watch on your smart TV through the My Michigan TV app. You can donate. You can buy. You can bid on auctions at www.MitchAlbumRadiothon.com. Don't forget the toll-free number, 1-855-955-GIVE, 1-855-955-4483. You can even text Mitch14 to 59925, or you can be there in person. I don't think I missed anything, Mitch.
No, the best is to come in person. We're at Somerset in the North Court for the whole 15 hours. It's a great show. A lot of these celebrities are going to be on hand tomorrow. So come on out and check it all out.
As I always say, break a leg, Mitch.
Thank you, Paul.
We'll be listening tomorrow. We'll be calling in at about 12:45. Stand by for Ryan Ermani and JR Afternoon. Regards. See you Thursday. Paul W. Smith.